And we are live-ish.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, weird, right? Yeah. So, speaking of live-ish, comes naturally, we are...
Joe.
And I'm Cody. That blank space was Mike. He ain't here today.
No.
He had to work.
Boo.
Or something. Some nonsense. Anyhow, we are gonna talk a little bit about video games today. It is that time of year when everybody in the video game industry kind of comes together in L.A. to show off what they got and show us what we are going to get.
Little convention known as E3.
A little bit.
Uh-huh.
He said the yes was for the suplexing of the choking X.
Fair enough. Okay, Mike.
What a dick. I don't have that list up. So E3 is taking place currently in the Los Angeles area. He's commenting about In-N-Out, he says. Not.
Okay, Mike.
I don't know what's going on. Mike's very confusing right now in the text messages. Tell him to be quiet. We're recording. Let's see. So, for the most part, not a whole lot of surprises this year. A lot of stuff we already knew. The biggest thing I'd say was the... just the... the look at the games and how much we have. So a lot of times E3 is going to be more of, hey, this is the stuff we're working on. Hopefully you'll see it by this time next year. This year, for the most part, is, hey, here are the games you're going to play in the next 6 to 8 months. So that's going to be the holiday season. Holiday season starts in September all the way through. The sweet spot of the year, which is usually the biggest one, is the February and March time frame for video games. I know most people are like, wait, what? Isn't that the Christmas time? No, actually, most of the big games come out earlier in the year. It's the tentpole franchises that eat up a holiday with your Call of Duties and your Battlefields and your if they release a Star Wars game. You have a lot of times your Gears of War. If there's a Halo game, things like that always come around that time of year. The rest of the world all releases theirs in the beginning of the year, and sometimes fiscal year ending or fiscal year beginning time frame in the February and March time, which, again, if you look back at this year, is exactly what happened. You had a lot of the big games come around that time.
Right.
So that's how it works. I'm trying to find a good list of... games. Don't care about one press conference versus the other. Maybe this list will be good. So the big ones, we have before we even had the press conference to start, we had the announcement of games like The Division 2. We had the announcements of a new Fallout game. We had the announcement of there was another big one that came out before it too. Oh, Rage 2,
Battlefield 5,
Call of Duty Black Ops 4.
Yep.
So like they were building up to it before it even came about. So it was pretty nuts. But just going through the press conferences started off with Microsoft and the Xbox, and they announced a lot of the games and gave us some early looks at some of them before the other press conferences and stuff came out. And they were everything from a Halo game called Halo Infinite, which we don't know anything about yet, other than the fact that it's using all the assets from all previous Halo games. And it seems to be, from what I've heard, is it's an open world, air quotes, because it's in the galaxy, and you actually move locations from different Halos to different planets to different planetoids, all on a adventure to do different things. I'm not too sure. But we won't really see it. A lot of people are speculating it's a next-gen console game, so it won't come out until probably around 2020, which is when the next Xbox is supposed to be released.
Right, but that'd be awful.
So it'd be really weird that they give us that. I mean, they gave us Project Scorpio 2 years before it came out, but they also didn't show us anything. They just told us what it was going to do. But it was a pretty interesting trailer if you didn't get a chance to see it. It had a lot of rings involved in the trailer, and then it was exposed. It was finally shown that everything you see was actually on a Halo, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Because they're going back to the original. You also had the next three installments of a Gears of War franchise. You had the proper game, which is Gears 5, or Gears of War 5 is nicknamed Gears 5. You had Gears of War Pop, and you had Gears of War Tactics. Gears of War Pop is we don't know yet. It's just a game that has to use uses the characters designed like the Pop figures that are out from Funko. It's a partnership with the Coalition and Funko to make it, so that's pretty cool. And then the Tactics is essentially, if you've ever seen XCOM or any of those turn-based strategy games, it's like that, but set in the Gears of War world, as well as it has big boss battles in it too, which is pretty cool too. Very good. It's going to be very violent, which is awesome. You know, heads exploding and people getting sawed in half and shit like that, so should be fun. We got our first in-depth look at Anthem. At that same time, which is
gorgeous,
the new BioWare game coming from EA or in a partnership with EA. For the people who don't know who BioWare is actually the people who make the Mass Effect franchise. And it was said that this game has actually been in development for 5 years, ever since the end of Mass Effect 3. And then that's why Mass Effect Andromeda was actually made by a different team, because this is the team that originally worked on the original franchise. One of the reasons Andromeda was a slightly different type of game, but that's also because they wanted to change it up for a new series that they were going to be working on, which was the Mass Effect Andromeda series. Anthem looks unbelievable. They finally showed real proper gameplay. People have actually been playing it, so there's actually other people playing this essentially glorified demo. And the reason I call it glorified demo is because it's not a demo of the game. It's a demo of what the game can do and what you do in the game. Very, very interesting aspect. It's an open world in a way where you have a hub world you go to, and then you have the surrounding areas, but then you go on these missions and these walkers, which are like mobile HQs. And they take you to other places where it's, an open-world-ish area. You kind of run around, fly around, what you want to do, swim around. And you do missions, and then you go back to the main hub. And the main hub is where you meet up with other players in a social space. But when you're out in the world, it's just you and if you bring friends with you.
Interesting. Okay, yeah. So it's not exactly like Destiny where it's going to be a giant open area where everybody can be, and then you go into little
areas. Yeah, so as of what they told us right now, the only social space, and it's much like for people who've played Monster Hunter World, the new one, the town is where you run into people and you can join in. Now, in Monster Hunter, it's just not everybody's running around, but there's social areas you go to and you can invite people in. This is going to be one of those places where you go, and this is where you can retrofit your gear and do your upgrades and buy new cosmetics and things like that. Because again, going forward with EA's promise, there will no longer be loot crates or any pay-to-play aspect of the game. There's going to be stuff you can buy, but it's going to be cosmetics. All it's going to do is change the look of your outfit, of your different suits, what they call javelins. In this, I almost said Jaegers. It's a whole different ballgame.
Yeah.
So they're very sticking to that because of the backlash they got with the Battlefront 2 fiasco and the gambling charges they almost got put up on. But a lot of the game manufacturers this year are announcing free DLC.
Which is good.
Which is really good because, I mean, really paying $60 for a game, then having to pay another $40 to $50 for expansions that aren't really expansions or just, you know, nothing.
Yeah.
And we'll talk a little more about that when we come to The Division 2 in a little bit here. But with Anthem, They promised a lot last year when they debuted it. I didn't think we would see this much of it. I was like, I don't think it's gonna game out for be like another 2 years. But sure enough, they told us last year, hey, we're aiming for the end of 18 or the beginning of 19. They're shooting for the beginning of 19. It comes out in March. I believe is the month, which is gonna be ridiculous. Just so much money being thrown around in March is ridiculous.
Yeah, right.
I mean, this year alone, we had two big games come out. We had the end of March was Far Cry 5. Beginning of the month was Sea of Thieves. So that's pretty big right there. What else? Oh, Crackdown 3 was announced with an actual not an actual release date, but a release month. It says February. I think they're playing it. Actually, no, I think Anthem's actually February too. Now that I remember, because I think they're both that same month, which is ridiculous.
I don't know.
I had a list yesterday that I cannot find now.
Anthem, February 22nd.
Okay, it is. Because that's right. Because if you don't know what EA Access is, EA Access is EA's streaming service. Well, I don't want to say streaming service, subscription service, mm-hmm. where you can play all of EA games that come out after a certain time of month. But one of the benefits, if you have that, is you actually gain access to new release games usually 3 days ahead of time.
Oh, that's cool.
So this gets released on the 22nd of February. There was a sheet listed when everything was leaked from Canada, which the head of Bethesda made a nice joke about. We'll talk about that too when we get there. That there's a release date set for the 19th, but if you do the math, 19 is 3 days before 22nd, meaning that EA Access will get it on that Friday or that Saturday or whatever it ends up being. But yeah, usually that happens with all the EA games. The same thing that happened with Battlefront 2, and I'm sure it's going to happen the same way with Anthem when it comes out to that time, so you'll be able to play it the weekend before everybody else, if you pay for EA Access, that is. Which I do not have anymore, because I don't play enough EA games. I'll just buy them and play them as I wish. Let's see. This list is doing releases, which I did not want. It's doing them in order of when they actually come out.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, it's not what I want to look at all. Actually, I'll leave that up. But
the IGN has a actually pretty decent list of like everything coming out.
Do they?
Or everything that was announced.
I keep finding ones that are like summaries of.
But they've gone through like every single one. We got Beyond Good and Evil 2.
Yep.
Which looks absolutely fantastic. And looking at that, what would that be, like the second full trailer?
That was the second full cinematic trailer, yeah.
Yeah. Because we had the teaser like a couple years ago. We had the
first cinematic trailer last year.
Yeah, last year. Now this is the second one, and it shows the protagonist from the first game being a little bit of a maybe evil.
Yeah. It shows Jade is her name.
Yeah, that's right.
So all I keep finding is EA or IGN's best of list. Is that what you're on?
No, games at E3 2018 is what it's called.
Okay, all right. Let's see. So you have they showed that off.
Looks absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, the cinematics are just fucking phenomenal in general. They showed a game engine demo last year, which looked really fucking good. This year they showed that they talked a bit more. I could have swore someone said there was a gameplay trailer, but I've yet to find it.
Haven't seen it yet.
So I don't know, but it's still going on, so there might be one released a little bit later, but I'm sure we'll see more at Gamescom about that too, because that game, I feel that game is a far off release, maybe another like end of next year at the best. Yeah. I can't imagine it being anything else.
Let's see, we had
it's on their wiki.
Crackdown 3. Oh yeah, their wiki is where
Crackdown 3 was talked about for the February release.
I do really enjoy the I'm not really big into the franchise like you are, but I do really enjoy the Terry Crews commentary over everything. It was hilarious.
Yes.
The next one big here is Cyberpunk 2077.
Yep.
From CD Projekt Red.
Yep.
The developers who did the Witcher series. I don't know much about it, but it looks like it could be pretty cool. I saw it described as like a cross between Deus Ex and The Witcher.
Yep.
So if it's anything like a combination of those two, and especially open world, it should be absolutely fun.
Yeah.
And I am looking forward to that game. That one is actually, I don't know, because it doesn't have a release date attached to it.
That's a link for a pre-order. Yeah, Xbox, which is weird. It's for Xbox, but it brings me to Amazon.
You know, pre-order it on Xbox for digital for some reason.
It's listed. This says it's listed for December 28th, 2018.
Ooh.
I don't know if that's true or not, but if it is, yes, please. Is that even a Tuesday?
No clue.
One of us has to have a calendar around here, right?
Nope.
Oh, we don't? Shit.
Nope.
Keep going.
Days Gone. What was that?
That's the zombie one from PlayStation.
That was the zombie one from PlayStation.
Yeah, that game's looking kind of lackluster to me. That is a Friday. December 28th is a Friday.
That's interesting.
So I don't think that's the right date. I'm pretty sure it doesn't get that Cyberpunk 2077 will not come out this year.
Awesome.
I wish. I mean, don't get me wrong. I really want to play that game because that cinematic trailer is fucking awesome looking.
Dude, the car that he drives.
Yeah, dude.
You had me at that. I was like, oh, that thing's gorgeous.
You had me on the train.
Yeah, that's
true. I was like, let's do this.
Yeah, Days Gone, I didn't watch the PS4 conference or the Nintendo Switch one.
Both were.
Really?
They didn't really show off anything big. The problem with the downside to PlayStations was a lot of their Steam was kind of given away by other companies.
They
ones.
Didn't really have so much of it. Or
because they don't have a lot, yeah.
Okay.
So because we had ours, which we showed off.
You mean Xbox?
Xbox. I keep saying us. It's them, but Xbox showed off Cyberpunk 2077. They showed off Battlefield 5.
Right, yep.
Which is both of them are cross platform. So really, when it came to PlayStation, really all they had were Days Gone, which most people aren't really that big on. Their big one was The Last of Us Part 2, and then the Spider-Man game were the big three that are theirs that they showed off.
Which the Spider-Man game looked absolutely gorgeous.
Gorgeous. It's made by Insomniac, so it fucking better be.
Yeah.
And then we're working on it for like 5 years, so game better not be broken as shit when it comes out.
And that's also another open world game.
Oh, Death Stranding. I forgot they showed off Death Stranding too, which is the new game from the dude from that made Metal Gear Solid. It's the one that has Daryl from Walking Dead, and
yeah,
it's partnered
to watch
the
trailer on that one. I just remember people were commenting on even this trailer of like, you know, it shows more, still explains nothing.
Yeah, and this one shows actual game footage. So the cinematic trailer we watch is game engine generated, which is most games are nowadays. But this time they actually, they show gameplay, but you don't really see anything. It's basically, like a lot of people think this is like a walking simulator, because all you see is just...
Is walking.
Norman Reedus' character walking.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's crazy about Death Stranding is if they went a little farther than most. So a lot of games are using photo telemetry for making very realistic graphics. Forza does it for their racetracks, both Forza and Forza Horizon series. Oddly enough, made by two different companies, by the way.
I didn't know that.
Oh, no. It's your foot. I was like, what is that noise? It's your foot on the thing. I thought it was raining weirdly raindrops or something. I was like, oil raindrops? But what they did is they went out and they and actually Forza Horizon 4 this year did the same thing, but in England for their different seasons. They went to they found this cabin, And what they did is they sent crews out to this cabin during all four seasons and have them film footage and take photographs of what it looks like when the seasons change and how it runs.
Okay.
So what it looks like when it rains, what it looks like when it snows, what it looks dry, what it looks like it's, you know, nice, whatever it happens to be. And they use that to build their real world, because in Forza Horizon 4, they have things called seasons. And every seven minutes of gameplay, seasons change.
Okay.
So you can be driving through and like there's snow and then there's rain, all sorts of crazy shit goes on, right? I think they said it was 7 minutes. I can't remember what it was. But they you actually drive through the different seasons. So as you're going, it can start to snow, which means the road's going to be different, you know, things like right. that. What the guys for Death Stranding did is they did the same thing. They went out and they photographed real material, and they used that as actual things, and they built polygoned objects out of it. So when you step on a rock, they built a real rock with real rock physics in the game. Okay. So if you're walking, one of the demos they in the demo they show, he's walking on the side of this rocky hill, like mountain, and he steps on a rock and it slides, and you can see it tumble and knock other rocks away.
Wow.
So it's not just flat objects that he's actually walking on terrain. And I guess they are saying if he steps on a rock wrong, he'll actually slip. He'll react to the ground moving below him.
Interesting.
Yeah. So like it's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, the game, I don't know what the fuck's happening in that game. He's got a baby in a jar and there's tanks that have body parts on them. I mean, it's all sorts of fucking weird, but I mean, that's what you get from them. So
from Hideo Kojima.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that dude's,
weird.
That dude's insane.
Yeah.
Let's see. What else we got? Dead or Alive 6, no one cares about.
Devil May Cry 5.
I like those games. Hopefully it goes back. Like, I liked DMC, which is the, I want to say reboot, remake, or not really remake, reboot of the series. I liked that one a lot because it was a lot different. This one is being said to go back to the original formula where it's this ridiculous action and button mashing nonsense.
And it's Nero, the original character, I think it was.
Nero's one of the original characters, but Dante shows up at the end of the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be fun.
What people want.
Yeah. They're actually using photorealistic materials too.
I wouldn't doubt if most of these people on this list aren't.
Yeah, and it's what's crazy about them is they take real photos and they make the real photos the actual like backgrounds and foregrounds and stuff, and then they animate stuff over the top with real physics, so when you're walking and if there's a puddle you can see your reflection in it, and the same with anyone else. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. When you look at it, it's like, oh, this shit looks fucking gnarly.
What's your take on Destiny 2? You gonna buy the Forsaken?
I don't know yet. I do like some of the stuff they're changing in the game. I hope the changes to the game. So the big update in September when this comes out, which is season 2, the game itself is getting a crazy big update. And you don't have to buy Forsaken to get it. Forsaken just gives you the extra missions and some of the new areas and raids and stuff. But if you don't want to buy it, you can still get a lot of the gear that's not specific to a certain thing, obviously, in the game. So all the new exotics, all the new armor stuff, but they're changing they're remaking the game in a way. They're changing how the weapon loadouts work, where you can actually pick a default weapon. So instead of always starting with your kinetic weapon, you can actually select which weapon you start with.
Oh, that'd be fun, because that was annoying.
If you want to roll around with, an energy weapon as your default, you can.
Yeah.
You want to start off with a kinetic weapon, you can. You want to walk around, because there's no limiting you. You can walk around with two assault rifles if you wanted to.
Right.
One's kinetic, one's not. This, they're allowing you to actually change which one you start with, which is pretty cool. There's new powers to earn, have new ones. There's new weapon types. There's like a crossbow, then, or a bow and arrow they're introducing, which is an actual weapon, but it'd be a power weapon like the grenade launchers are and stuff like that.
Right.
So there's new things like that, all new exotics that they're doing. And then they're changing mod systems. They're changing the Masterworks system.
Okay. Yeah.
They're changing a lot of that stuff just for quality of life for the game, because they really want this game, because they're one of their plans is to make this game last for 4 years with new seasons, adding those things in. So every year a new season will come out. So like we're already in season one. By the time September comes around, that's technically season two. Then follow year, they'll have season three. Season four will lead into the next game, hopefully. Because they're a lot of game manufacturers are the reason a lot of games are so short and they don't have the replayability a lot of them do is because their build cycle is 2 years.
Right.
So they start a concept, you know, 1 year. And they have once whatever previous project is done, they have 2 full years for release. So there's a lot of that goes into that. As a lot of games come out broken. That's why a lot of the Assassin's Creed games, when they're doing every year, is where it's so broken out of the box, and then it took forever to even fix them. Like people's faces missing,
right?
And like building game mechanics not working properly, things like that, is because they're cycling through these games too quickly. Now, a lot of game manufacturers, Ubisoft being one of them, is taking the Call of Duty approach to it. They will be releasing a new game every year, but they're going to have multiple teams working on it. So not just within one game, but just in the games themselves. Like Black Ops Call of Duty, Call of Duty Black Ops 4 this year is a different team that released Call of Duty World War II last year. But when they launch their game, it's going to be mostly multiplayer. There's no real single player, which is boo, but whatever. But they also have their zombie franchise. That's actually built by a different team. So they have two teams working on the same title coming out at the same time, so they have a lot more resources to work on. What Assassin's Creed is doing, which we are going to talk about, I think we bypassed that, right? Assassin's Creed Odyssey? Yeah, we did. Assassin's Creed Odyssey is set in want to say you're an Athenian, right? No, you're Greek.
Greek, yeah.
Yeah, you're Greek, but it's set in that time frame. So in the time of like shortly after the time of 300 and stuff like that. But that's a different team. That team is actually Ubisoft Quebec working on that one. So they've been working on it for 3 years, and they're the team that did Syndicate, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
It's a different team that did Origins. It came out last year. But they work on the same. They work with the same tools. So anything that the team who went in Origins, which I want to say is Montreal, who did that game, they kind of pass on those lessons. So they kind of work with each other and help build it up. So that's pretty cool too.
Yeah.
But with Destiny, the only problem with that is you're going to pay. They want you to pay another $40. For two more expansions.
Yeah.
But the two expansions we got, if you ask me, were kind of not great.
No, not at all.
They were very short, and they had grindability to them, but that's it.
Yeah.
They didn't have replayability.
I didn't like how small Mars was, too.
Yeah, like the what little bit of Mars you got on, it was just so fucking terrible.
Yeah.
But whatever, right? I mean, it's just, to me, I almost look at, for say the September release is like almost like a Destiny 2.5 in a way, because they are redoing so much of it. So I'll see. I'll play the update, and then what I'll see about the expansions and see if I want it. But for the most part, the only thing they've told us about so far is the Gambit gameplay, which does not appeal to me. It looks cool, but I'm not going to play it, so it doesn't really matter.
Right.
After that, we have Tom Clancy's Division 2. If you guys are a fan of the show, which I thank you are, you will know that Joe and I are very big into The Division.
Yes, we are.
We had a whole episode about it.
Yep.
This is no different. This one I am super hyped for. What are you looking at all weird for?
I like how in most of these, they say it's for PC, PS4, Xbox One, but for The Division, it says multi-platform.
Yeah, I know, right?
It's like,
and the one right below it, which is Doom Eternal, says PC, PS4, Xbox One.
Yeah.
That's right there. That's multi-platform.
Even if you add the Switch, which is FIFA 2019.
Yeah.
It's, yeah, anyway.
Yeah, I don't know, whatever. Weird. IGN's wiki. So, for the people who play The Division, This is the breakdown. This takes place 7 months after the events of The Division, which is the release of the virus. You now play this one as a different set of agents who are much more well-prepared and not thrown into the fire, but they are being thrown into a different fire. So this takes place in Washington, D.C. This one will have unpaid DLC.
Amazing.
Yep. And it's a full DLC. It's not one of those, oh, we're just adding new features to it. They have three what they call episodes set to go. And those three episodes will be brand new missions, bring brand new items, and expand the game map.
Nice.
On all three. So they're planning way ahead. I think they learned a lot from their three-year run on The Division and how it working with the very vocal community, player community, as well as making updates and doing different things, because they've changed The Division quite a bit from launch.
Yeah.
A, from being completely fucking broken to being a lot more to it. I think the first game has hit its peak where it doesn't need to go any further. I think it's just kind of, to me, I don't want to say dead, but I think it's definitely we're ready for Division 2 come out, because I think The Division 2 adds a lot more of what everyone wanted, which is less of a hack and slash RPG and more of an actual gun RPG. Right. Enemies take damage more realistically. It still has people taking multiple bullets, but it's not a red bar guy on a higher difficulty doesn't take a full clip of 45 automatic bullets and still come walking at you.
Yeah.
You shoot a motherfucker in the face, his life goes down, if not all the way, almost all the way. Stagger looked really good on it.
Yes, it did.
What's crazy about this is, and I think they did this for a particular reason, is they showed Endgame. Now, I don't like that term because it sounds bad, but all the people in the industry use it. Endgame is what happens at the end of the game. So a lot of open world games have fallen flat at this point, because you get to a certain point where you max your character out, usually beat the game beforehand, so then you have to grind afterwards, or if you were smart in Division, you just did all the side stuff, got completely maxed out, and then ran through the last mission like you were fucking, the man.
Rambo, yeah.
Yeah, just literally like pistol shooting everybody, which is fucking rad, except for the helicopter. You definitely had to let that thing have some damage.
Oh, yeah.
But then when you, at that point, you were like, what do? You just go through the same stuff, right? Mm. So you have to rely on DLC, which they did. They took a different approach than most other games, and they went to the first release they did was The Underground, which is a dungeon system where it's procedurally generated dungeons. You go different ways and different things with different enemy types and different objectives. That's cool, except for they wanted to make it more of a challenge, air quotes. And so you had modifiers that made it harder, but the way to get better stuff is to do it harder, but you need the better stuff to do it, do the harder levels to get the better stuff. Yeah. I don't know if you know this or not. That's not how that works.
Yeah.
So, yes, I can grind, but I can't grind to get the better stuff to do the harder missions to get the better stuff.
And at the same time, a lot of that hard stuff required you to have more players, so yeah. This was something that you really couldn't do on your own.
Yeah, which is horseshit.
Yeah.
Now, because you can run through the entire game by yourself, which I did, or you can do it with other people, which is really fun, especially if you have, a team like Collateral Damage Crew, which we have.
Yep.
It's super fun because we fuck with each other all the time, like, hey, what's that over there? And then you send someone over there to be next to something explosive, you shoot it and sets them on fire. Taj.
Or you run past the proximity mine.
And just in time to blow people up.
Everybody else behind you up.
Yep. So little fun things like that. But with this one, they started off at E3, they showed off Endgame, which is insane. Because you're like, wait a minute.
You don't usually show the end game.
Yeah, like you want that to be like, A, something you save for it. Now, they're not showing us everything. I think they're smarter with that. But I think they learned their lesson, and they want to show people who have fallen off The Division, Joe and I for sure, that, hey, we have something bigger planned now for that. Now, with The Division, if you do max your character out to 30, you don't do it in a couple days. It takes a while. There's a lot to it, because you need better gear, you need better guns, and that's what makes it fun. Because, yes, you end up going through the same missions over and over again or whatever, right? Or the same type of missions, but it's still fun to do, even by yourself.
Yeah.
So this one has that, too, I'm sure. They have a bunch of all new weapons. They have a new... So the end game portion of it is once you get to level 30, you unlock power weapons. Power weapons, the ones they showed us so far, are a 6-round grenade launcher, a crossbow that has explosive arrows, and a 50 cal sniper rifle. Now, those come with these, with what they call, it's operator classes, I think they said it was, something like that.
Yeah, I think they said operator
classes. And there's three different ones. There's marksman, there's demolition, and I think there's the crossbow is recon.
I don't remember.
I think. I can't remember what they were. Yeah. It's new, and it's so much stuff going on. So with each of those, you get, and it's not, you don't pick one and you're stuck with it, so you're not picking a class. You can actually use all of them, just not at the same time, because you'd be fucking endlessly stopless, you know what I mean? Just like blowing people up all the time.
Oh, it'd be so much fun.
It's like, bow, bow, chick, bow, chick, bow. That's the noises those make. Yep, that's right. Master sound effects, people.
Yeah.
Joe thought he was in danger. So he didn't. He shook his head. No. That's perfectly correct. And so the thing about this one is, because they showed us the end game, they kind of show you what some other things are going on. So when you're in end game, which basically means you've already beat the main game, the city is still not the area, the map you're in, is still not safe. It's not you beat the bad guy and everything's, you know, hunky dory. You still have these factions to worry about. They're still free roaming, and so they have these things called control points. The one they show in the demo from E3 is a downed Air Force One, which is nuts. And it has an explosion on the side, and it's strewn across this big block, and you have to fight for control of it. And once you do, the settlement comes in and takes that. Now, I don't know if that can be retaken, and you have to come back and save it again. I don't know how this works.
Yeah.
But it was pretty cool to watch, because it's like, you go in, you defeat the first group that's in there, which is a lot of dudes in general, and then you fight off two or three waves after that of incoming bad guys to hold this point.
Mm-hmm.
And then you take it comes in, and it becomes like a small little settlement that like people come into, and you can refortify them with different things you find around the world, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
But the big thing about this is they didn't focus any on the dark zone just yet. Did say that there is a dark zone, but they realized the pain points of the dark zone is not everyone likes it.
No, not at all.
And the whole big thing about the Division is you play with three of your friends in a PvE area that gives you a challenge. Not everyone's into PvP, and I think they realized that a little too late with the Division 1, because they made that something, it made the dark zone a very heavy influence thing to have to do with. I think they're going to change that. We don't know yet, but we'll probably find out more when it comes to the closer to Gamescom, which is in October, if I'm not mistaken. And we'll learn also more about the open beta they're going to have, which if you go to thedivision.com, you can sign up for. It should be loading a lot better. It seems to be loading a lot better than it did the first couple days they announced it, because it's probably getting spammed like crazy.
Right.
People going on there. I did it as soon as they announced it. I was halfway done with the Word, and I was on the website already.
Huh.
I had opened like four browsers at work, and it was just crashing on all of them. But I got through. Doesn't matter. I got in. I got my confirmation email and everything.
Have you played any of the Dark Zone since
the big update?
Since big update?
I haven't played any Dark Zone 2.0. I know the rogue system's a lot different now.
You have to like intentionally indicate, yeah, I'm going to be able to go rogue.
Yeah, you can't just like shoot. Yeah. It doesn't do any damage to the person you're shooting.
Which is good.
Yeah, you have to actually declare being rogue. And the nice thing about the crazy thing about it is, it used to be anybody in the proximity would see that you were a rogue. Now everybody on the map sees that you're rogue, and you actually have to go to a certain point and interact with the terminal to be declassified as rogue. So it makes that nice, but still, it's just dickbags in the, you know, you're still going to have the dickbags like, well, fuck it, I'm going rogue, I'm going to shoot you,
right.
But whatever. So I haven't really gone in there, but we might check it out when they release the shield system. The shield system isn't live yet, will be something to do when you're playing Division 1, that leads, if you're planning on playing Division 2, gives you perks and bonuses and upgrades when you start new in Division 2. So when they release that, I will be checking out again to see what it is. Maybe I automatically get them.
On that?
No, they didn't say anything about it. They say it's coming soon. So I mean, it's not until next fucking March. So
yeah, but still, kind of want it now.
Yeah, I'll have to look into it. But right now, it's not live. It says coming soon still on the website and everything.
Fair.
But yeah, so they showed up what it is. It's like there's 12 different shields.
Okay.
And they're basically just doing different things in the world to essentially just build your... Essentially what you would use those shields for is the progression through your game. So I'm wondering if we automatically get them because we have pretty much everything done. You know what I mean? Yeah. Other than the expansion. I'm not that far into Dark Zone stuff. I've played no survival.
But again, all that's PvP, and we don't really
play that so, stuff. And I have a good chunk into the underground, so we'll see what happens. But yeah. If it's... The most likely, if I'm thinking the lines of proper here, the rewards you get for the shields would probably be what the shields were gained for. Mm. So if they were PvP stuff, it's probably for PvP stuff, and I don't give a shit about it. So
no,
hopefully that's how it works, and we'll see how that is. But that's if I mean that's the Division 2. It looks amazing. The whole thing about the free DLC, that was the big thing, because after the first season pass, which didn't go so well for Ubisoft. It didn't land as well because of the more PvP-centric stuff, mm-hmm. and the fact that it didn't give you new in-game stuff to do. It was more of just exterior stuff. Yes, unlike Wildlands, you got those new weapons and stuff for regular gameplay.
Yeah.
Wildlands. Sons of bitches. Anyways, I'm not mad. But it was, again, one of those things where they were DLC less than expansions. That's why I went away from the word expansion. Like, Destiny embraces the word expansion because it expands the game. Like, it's a new game playable area, just like all the other ones are, and expands the story and all things like that. These were DLC, just like Wildlands had DLC. They were drastically different from the game, so they weren't expansions, but they introduced new things that you couldn't do outside that DLC, which really pissed me off.
Yeah.
Because unlike The Division, who did it right the right way, is you got newer stuff, you got to use it in the regular game too.
Yeah.
Not Wildlands. Just saying.
Yeah.
Anyhow, that was Division. Comes out in March 15th of 2019, if I'm not mistaken.
Sure.
Somewhere around there. And open beta sometime before that for them to play test a bunch of shit on them. Doom Eternal was announced. That's the sequel to Bethesda's wildly successful remake of Doom.
Looked pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, they showed like a cinematic trailer.
Yeah.
But if it's anything like the first one, it's gonna be fucking nonsense and amazing. So highly recommend it. If you check out Doom 1, Doom Eternal is gonna be fun. Dying Light 2. Dying Light was a zombie game. It was a first person zombie game that utilizes parkour. It was an excellent game. The whole premise of this is there's zombies. During the day, they're less active. During night, they're extremely active. So you have missions that take place during day and night. It's fairly open world. The second one's going to be drastically open world, and they're going to use choices as with benefits and consequences. So, for example, the example they gave us is you get a mission that say, hey, this group that's running the water is going to privatize the water, and we want this to change. So if you help one faction, things change to be like a dictatorship. You have the other faction, it just goes the other way. So a lot of different choices, but it looks gorgeous. If you like those kind of games, I highly recommend checking out Dying Light 1, because Dying Light 2, it looks awesome.
All right.
They announced, speaking of Bethesda, they announced Elder Scrolls 6.
They announced Elder Scrolls 6, Elder Scrolls Blades,
Elder Scrolls Legends coming to multiple platforms. They just released the Somerset expansion for Elder Scrolls Online. Speaking of Bethesda, Fallout 76 and Fallout Shelter is expanding from mobile devices to PlayStation 4, the Switch, and PC. Already on iOS and Android, which they don't list here.
Yeah.
And Xbox. Fallout 76 is... The premise of the story is this. It's the very first shelter that was opened after the attack. It is in West Virginia, not just Washington, D.C., but all of West Virginia. They did a very clever thing because no one knew where it was going to be at yet, but in the original teaser trailer, the first song that plays is Take Me Home.
Country Roads.
So it basically says West Virginia in the song, and everyone was like super surprised when it ends up being in... Some people knew that Vault 76 was already in West Virginia because those nerds know the backstory. I did not know this. I did not know 76 was the first vault because if my math would be anything, one would be first.
Right.
But I guess they're not named for numbers. They're named for districts.
Okay.
So 76 was
named 76 or something like that.
Well, named for that because of the district he's in. It wasn't because it was Vault 101 or Vault 111. This one was named 76 because of 1776, which is the birth of our nation.
Yeah.
So forth. So that's what I was told, at least from somebody who knows. Okay. But I think it also could be the number. I'm not too sure. But this game, I might not play it. I might play it. I don't know yet. I liked Fallout 3. I love Fallout 3. I liked Fallout New Vegas just because we had this discussion before. Yeah. It was very broken in a way because it was expanded on a game. Doesn't matter. I really enjoyed on the verge of loved Fallout 4. There was a little too much in it for me, which sounds really bizarre. But there's all these different things where you have to build stuff and you have to keep these. I was like, I just want to kill things and find weird weapons.
Right. I wanted to do the exploring and stuff, not have to go back to this one place constantly because they're saying they're being attacked.
Yeah. So that kind of made me mad, but I did finish it. Took fucking forever because of all that nonsense. But it's a really good game. It's a very solid game. It's a very fun game to play. I wished they would have had co-op in it. 76 does have co-op in it. It has 4-player co-op in it, which is pretty cool. I just don't like the fact that they may be putting forced PvP into the game. It hasn't been fully announced yet of what it is. They're just talking about how there will be real other players in the world, but it's going to be drastically smaller counts. So, for example, if there's 12-player server counts, right? If you come in with 3 of your friends, that's 4 of the 12. Mm-hmm. You don't get 12 others. You only get 8 others. So it's less likely. It's a very big map. It's 4 times the map, 4 times the size of Fallout 4's map. Which if you play Fallout 4, that means this map is fucking massive.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. The building aspect in this, they said it's a little more toned down. It's not build it for other people, it's build it for you. It's where you can craft your stuff, but you do have to protect it from monsters, from mutants, as well as other invaders, whatever. So I'm not really excited about that because I don't want to have to use upkeep. I'm lazy. I just want to play a game where I just, you know, shoot things and find stuff.
Yeah.
Not that big of a deal, kids. Whatever. So it looks really good. It's going to be interesting to see as we find out more about it before it's released in October. So I don't know where we're releasing it. We're going to find out some stuff here. I think we're going to talk about it at QuakeCon come September, which is the month right before it comes out. So we'll see a little more. Or is QuakeCon in August? It might be August. I can't remember when it is. That's also going to show off more of Doom, and they're going to show off the full release of Quake Champions there too, which is all Bethesda stuff. Farming Simulator 19. That's
super
actually
excited about that.
Fear the Wolves. Did you see this trailer?
I don't think I did.
You might not have. I want to say it was. Which conference was this on? This was not ours, right? This was Ubisoft or was this EA? Hold on, pull it up right now. It was one. I don't remember which. No, it's Focus Entertainment.
I've seen this one before because it's from the the development team behind Stalker.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's an interesting game. Looks very interesting. It's
because I played Stalker and I really enjoyed Stalker.
Yeah, Stalker was a fun game. This one you play a survival. It's like a survival horror game.
Much like Stalker.
Yep. I don't think it's multiplayer. I think it's just you alone.
No, it's The Wolves is the post-apocalyptic first-person shooter battle royale.
Never mind not playing that game.
From the development team behind Stalker franchise. So it's taking their stuff, their idea of being dropped into, as they call it here, radiation-ravaged Chernobyl.
It's Chernobyl. Okay, I do remember that. Yeah, I remember that now. Yeah, it was Chernobyl.
But it's taking the PUBG approach to all-out war type thing. So they're hopping onto that bandwagon like apparently pretty much everybody else is.
Yeah, Battlefield 5 is doing it. Call of Duty Black Ops 4 is doing it.
Which then I thought was funny. And then PUBG announces that they're coming out with a new mode called War
Mode. It's war 50v50. Mode?
Yeah, where it's one side versus another. It's like, so they're going the opposite direction of everybody else.
Yeah, so you still get dropped in, but you still have to find other stuff, but you're in teams.
Yeah.
It's 50v50, if I'm mistaken. Taking a playbook out of their rivals, Fortnite.
Yeah. It's just fun to watch, but it's not a game that, at least a full-fledged game, I'd be interested in getting.
It's something you can drop it and do, but it's nothing I want to do because I can't just continue on where I was at, start fresh every time. But plus, I'm my old age, I'm lazy.
Yeah.
So I do remember seeing what that was now. Because there's another one that's coming out. It's exclusive to Xbox. I think it's from one of their new companies under Microsoft Studios. It's called Vigor. And Vigor is a little bit differently than the rest of the Battle Royales. It's a survival game, more of a survival game than it is a Battle Royale game.
Okay.
So you basically have a home base you go to that you're in, but you can basically go into this war zone area and you scavenge for weapons and items, and then you bring those back. But if you get in a gunfight and you get killed, you lose what you have on you.
Right.
But what's crazy about this is you get in a gunfight, if you can run away and escape. And you can bring all your stuff with you.
I do recall seeing that played, but I don't see it listed here.
It's Vigor. It's down at the bottom.
No, it's not. There's nothing listed in V for Vigor.
Oh, that's weird.
Got Vacation Simulator.
Jesus Christ.
Valkyria Chronicles, Vampire, and V Rally 4.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right. IGN needs to update their shit.
Moving on.
That was not at the press conference, though. I'll say this. That was debuted at the Inside Xbox event, which is the monthly show that Xbox puts on YouTube and stuff.
Okay, that might be why it's not.
Might be why it's not on there, yeah. IGN just needs to step their game up and actually report on real news. Firewall Zero Hour. I saw a little bit about that, but it's a VR game for PS4, so it's probably going to be garbage. That's just my thoughts, because everything I play on VR, on PlayStation VR, is utter trash. Forza Horizon 4 we talked about. They did updates for For Honor and Fortnite. Fortnite's coming to the Switch is the big thing for them.
Yeah.
And the shopping cart.
Which is hilarious.
Yes, super hilarious. Forza Horizon 4 is their open world racing game, which is definitely truly this time much more open world than it was before. If you got a chance to see the demo, they had a player count of 24 on the map at one point.
Cool.
I'm not a racing simulator fan.
No.
But it does look very impressive. It looks very good.
They always do look visually impressive. Yes. And I think they probably handle very well as well. But yeah, racing games are not for me.
Then we come to Gears 5, which is Gears of War 5, obviously, but just called Gears 5. We talked a little bit about this earlier. The big premise of this one is it continues the story of Gears of War 4, but instead of continuing your story narrative following JD, who is Marcus Fenix's son, you actually follow along with another character from the first game, Kate, and you follow her, expanding more on her story that was developed in Gears of War 4. So that's pretty cool, too.
Yeah.
So first time you get to play as a female character outside of multiplayer.
Yeah.
So... and that doesn't matter. She still kicks ass and everything.
So I'm looking forward to that one. Although I'm also looking forward to the next one on the list. Gears Pop, just because nerd. I want to know what the fuck this is. It was just hilarious to watch this part of the conference, and you just see these pop vinyls pop up, and you're like, oh, okay, that's
advertising
cute.
Gears advertising Pops, Pop, right?
And then suddenly, like, nope, this is a game.
Yep.
But they don't show anything about it. And I was like, oh.
I think IGN really secretly hates Android, by the way.
Because they don't list anything here.
Yeah, like IGN, this is IGN's wiki still for everything E3. Gears Pop is listed for iOS only. Like, it doesn't say anything else. It doesn't say and others or whatever. It's just iOS.
Maybe it's not.
On the thing, it said Google Play Store and Android and the Apple Store.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, whatever.
Yeah, it says you see the App Store and you see the Google one next to it. So
yeah.
So more to come on that too. We'll probably find out more when it gets closer to release. I'm gonna guess. It's going to come closer to the October 5th release of Gears 5.
Probably.
When that comes out along. I don't know. The next one is Gears Tactics, we talked about earlier. We don't know when that one comes out either.
Yeah.
I'd almost guess that's not this year, but it's actually being made, again, with a partnership with another company along with Coalition. So it still has them working on it, but they're not building the actual game because they don't build those games. So why not give it to somebody who does? Next up is Ghosts of... Tsushima, I think it's what it's called.
Tsushima.
Tsushima, is that what it is? Tsushima. Sure, why not? This is the new game for PlayStation 4. This is by Sucker Punch. These are the people behind one of my favorite PlayStation franchises, which has been neglected the last couple years, which is Infamous, which is one of the reasons it's being neglected, because they're making a different IP. Hopefully this one gets released on time, which I believe is later this year, so they can get to work on a new Infamous game that I can have, and that's all I care about. It does look gorgeous. This game looks amazing. I might actually pick this up because it is Sucker Punch, but it looks extremely violent.
Looks like fun. You're playing as a samurai in feudal Japan.
And so. I love Japan. I love samurais, and I love feudal Japan. So
yeah.
I might pick it up. Be pretty fun. I haven't really played my PlayStation in a long time, even though I've bought God of War for it. I just haven't played it yet. It's a lot of investment of time.
Yeah.
But anyways, that looks really cool. Next after that is Halo Infinite. We talked a little about this earlier. Nobody knows anything about it yet, other than the fact that it's using using all assets from every Halo game. And if you look at the, can't call him Master Chief, but the Spartan they show, he looks very classic Halo Spartanish. It's very what do they call it? Urban green, the combat green. All their armor is.
Drab.
Yeah, like that, whatever the color that is, that looks very much like that. And then at the end of it, you see him putting an AI chip in the back of his helmet, which could or could not be Cortana. Because, again, we don't know when this takes place. Who knows? Someone said it takes place before Halo 1. We're like, well, we kind of discovered the Halos then, so I'm not too sure that works. But anyway, it doesn't matter. More to come on that later. I'm sure it's...
Plus, it'll be weird how they work, because it's supposed to be, it's an open world with multi people, you know, much like Destiny being able to be in there.
Yeah, so
it, not everybody could be Master Chief, you know.
Exactly. So, yeah. I mean, anybody can be a Spartan. So, the guys at work and I were brainstorming an ODST sequel, which would be kind of like a Destiny style ODST, where it's a co-op game, where you basically just get dropped off at different places and, you know, secure the area and do all the different things and stuff.
It'd be interesting.
So it'd be pretty fun. Just because I loved ODST so much, ODST and it gets shit on all the time for not being a real Halo game.
Yeah.
I loved that game. Not just because Nathan Fillion was in it, but because it was an awesome fucking game.
Yep.
You don't get to play as a Spartan. Go fuck yourself, nerd. Let's see. Hitman 2. Yeah. Another Hitman game I'm going to skip, most likely. It's way too much work in that. Having to hide bodies and nonsense. Like, I'm going to shoot everybody.
I just want
to
kill everybody and go.
Yep. Speaking of killing everybody and go, Just Cause 4. Joe knows where I was going with that one.
Yep.
Just Cause 4, a sequel to a game that I thought actually flew under the radar, but apparently it was very popular. Because I never really heard anybody talking about it, except for, obviously, Joe and I, and a couple of my other friends. But Just Cause 4 is going to just ramp up the ridiculousness even more. And if you've for the people who've played Just Cause 3, if you haven't played the DLCs, I highly recommend them, because they just add more and more to the ridiculousness of that game. Because you get to be able to shoot rockets off your back while using the wingsuit.
Uh-huh.
And then you can literally fly around the entire island on the wingsuit, because you keep basically grappling onto other things. Oh, it's so fantastic. And they're just adding that more and more to it. They have a new customizable grappling hook usage, where you can actually, the thing we're watching earlier today was something, there's over thousands of different possibility of customizable changes you can make with the grappling hook, which is just
insane.
Mind-boggling,
yep.
To say the least. They keep showing this one where he shoots these inflatable balloons on things and they float away, bad guys, vehicles, whatever, and they put rockets in the back of him, and then, like, he's basically fills up with explosives, flies it over a base, and then drops it into it while he wingsuits away. And I was like, I would like to do that.
Yes.
Can I do that now, please?
Yes.
I talked to Joe. Did I talk you into buying it?
No.
No, you were going to buy it.
It came out on Xbox Games with Gold.
That's what it was. That's right. And yeah. I say, you should buy this, or you should download this.
It. Yeah.
Yeah. Fantastic game. I highly recommend everybody checking that game out if you like third person or just action games in general. It is chocked full of action. It's stupidly ridiculous. And Just Cause 4 looks to be doing exact same thing.
Ramp it up.
Just boom, shoot it back up.
Just like everything else.
Yep. Next up, we're not going to talk about Just Dance 19, Joe. I'm sorry.
Damn.
We're going to skip down to Kingdom Hearts 3.
Looks cool.
Looks interesting. I'm going to play it just like I played all the other ones. I'm going to most likely cry just like I did with the first and third one. Not so much the second one. The second one didn't have as much of the feels in it, if you ask me. This time they're going super heavy in super heavy in the Disney world, not just that. The more modern Disney movies. There's a few other ones, like Hercules is in there, mm-hmm. but they have a lot of the Pixar stuff. They have a lot of the newer Disney animated movies with Tangled and Frozen and Wreck-It Ralph, which, by the way, all of those are not Pixar, people. Those ones are Disney animation, just to clarify. But you do have Toy Story that was shown in this. You have Monsters, Inc. that was shown in this. You have Ratatouille that was shown off. There was one other one I thought I saw, too, from there. Doesn't matter. There's also Pirates of the Caribbean looks nuts.
Yeah.
That's another Disney one. Obviously not an animated one, but they recreated all the characters in CG, which is fucking crazy. And then they have the Final Fantasy-esque people in it, too, because those are the bad guys and stuff. So very interesting. Finally coming out, I want to say it's also in February. Or no, it's this year. It's September of this year? Does it say on there? I should have looked it up. I want to say it's this year. It's this holiday season, I think.
Nope, it'll be released January 29th.
January 29th. Okay, so it was first part of next year. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's see. Oh, Last of Us Part 2. For the folks who haven't played Last of Us, Joe being one of them.
Yep.
And you guys do not... No, you guys have PlayStation 4 in the house now, right?
No.
Oh, no, your brother sold it.
My brother got it rid of it.
God damn it. Your brother's so dumb sometimes. It's a good console to have around for their exclusives because they make really good exclusives.
Just gather dust. That's all it does.
Mine gathers dust until
you play like one or two games on it a year, and then it just gathers dust the rest.
I mean, there's other games you can play on it, but you don't have friends to play it. You know,
Uncharted and Uncharted 2 on it.
By far, the two best games.
Ran right through those games.
They're amazing.
In like literally played Uncharted 1 day, finished it all.
That's a long day, sir.
That was a long day. Did the same thing to Uncharted 2.
That's two long days.
Yeah.
Those games are very dense.
And then never touched it again for like 2 or 3 years or whatever it was.
3 was fun. 4 was fun. 4 was better than 3. I had some issues with 4's story, but whatever. I'm not going to play the other one they made. But those same people, Naughty Dog, made Last of Us and Last of Us Part 2. So most people think, oh, it's a zombie game. Incorrect. There are zombie-like creatures.
Mm-hmm.
There are people, but they're not zombies. They are infected people who have, I want to say it's rage issues.
Okay.
But it's, you play after it's kind of gone away.
Uh-huh.
But it's less of that and more of it's kind of like the Walking Dead thing where the enemy isn't really the Walking Dead, like the zombies. It's more the people that are there. Uh-huh. That's really what it's at, and it's a very survivalish game. This new trailer goes from being a lesbian porno to a snuff film, a very violent snuff film, back to a lesbian porno, all in the span of 11 minutes.
Okay.
So it starts off with your main character... not Joel from the first one, but Ellie, who is now grown up, and she's at a dance, which seems really weird, but it's a survival camp dance or whatever. She gets approached by this guy who is in a relationship with this girl you are told about, again, because this is years after the first game. And they broke up, and he's hoping they'll get back together, blah, blah, blah. Well, that girl ends up walking over, asking Ellie to dance. They're dancing. Ellie makes a comment of saying, hey... All the guys are staring at you, and she's like, how do you know they're not staring at you? They have a very passionate kiss that's very close up and uncomfortable. And then it cuts to Ellie in the wilderness, and she fights a bunch of dudes and ladies, kills some people in the worst ways, like an axe in the fucking head. an axe into the side of the neck, like just brutal ways. Airone motherfuckers. It's a very, very intense game. The first one was.
Yeah.
The second one looks to be the same way. But it's one of those games where you have to be careful what you do, because the more noise you make, the more trouble you're going to get into, because the people are going to come after you.
Right.
You have very limited resources, of as in like bullets. Bow and arrow is very, very handy. Being sneaky is very handy. It looked gorgeous, other than the fact that it was essentially a snuff film, because they're just, she is just murdering the fuck out of people. Gorgeous, like, animation, everything. And then it goes back to them leaving the kiss, and then you're like, well, this got awkward.
Right.
But it looks gorgeous. It's probably going to be an amazing game, just like the first one was.
All right.
I didn't
word for it.
Yeah, the first game was like this weird, out of nowhere, like everyone's like, oh, the dudes from Uncharted do another game. And it was like so different from that game. Every bit of it was different from that game, and it was amazing. Mm-hmm. And I was like, obviously, these motherfuckers can do whatever the hell they want, because they make good-ass games.
Yep.
And they have so far. So that's that. Madden NFL 19.
Meh.
Who cares? Mario Rabbids DLC, which is the Donkey Kong one. Mario Tennis Aces. Again, who fucking cares? Mega Man 11, which we actually knew about ahead of time. They showed actual game, more gameplay this time. Metro Exodus. That game looks nuts. I love the first two games. This one's going to be even cooler because it's open world. Again, it's a big thing right now.
Yep.
But you're finally above fucking ground for like what looks like to be the entire game. So for people who don't know, Metro games, so Metro 2033 is based on a book by a dude's name I'm going to butcher, Dimitri something, which I keep planning to read. But that I know the story, what happens in the story, because you play through it in the first game. They worked with him on the story of the second one, and then they used him as a reference for this third game, which is Metro Exodus. Metro Last Light, which is the second game, was a little bit above ground, but mostly underground in the Metro, hence the name.
Yep.
This one is outside a lot more, with zip lines and craziness, mutant animals and all sorts of crazy shit. If you like shooters, but you like that, like not stealth, but like strategic shooters, Metro games are definitely going to be something you're going to dig. I think you should all check them out. And I believe you can get right now Metro 2033 and Metro Last Light as a bundle for like super cheap.
Okay.
And they might be part of Game Pass. I could probably look that up, but I'm not going to. Game Pass is going to have a huge release. Right now, as of right now, Division, we talked about, the first one is available on Game Pass.
Nice.
In 4K.
Nice.
With all the free expansions they did. So you have to still have to buy Last Stand. You still have to buy The Underground. You have to buy whatever the fucking PvP one was.
Don't remember.
Doesn't matter. Those ones you still buy, but you get the other ones. You get the expanded map areas. You get all that fun free stuff. So that's on there. Fallout 4 is now on there.
Ooh.
That's pretty crazy.
I never finished that one, so that'd be tempting.
You can jump right back into that one.
Yeah.
If you want, download it, play it on there. And right now, not that I'm advertising it, but there's really good deals going on right now. One of the months, if you haven't tried it, you get your first full month for $1. And then if you go into a Microsoft store, you can get 6 months for 50% off.
Nice.
So you can get 6 months of all those 300-something games, including The Division and Fallout, for all of $30.
Nice.
And if you do the full year, it's $60. Or if you want to buy a bunch, you can stack up. I think you can stack up 3 total years together.
All right.
But you can buy a bunch and just wait to activate them.
Yeah.
But yeah. So if you want to try that, it's a pretty fucking good deal right now. Plus, there's like 220 something games right now on sale, and some of them are like including newer games. Like Far Cry 5 is on sale.
All right.
Assassin's Creed Origins is on sale. Like every game possible is on sale right now. Call of Duty, nice. Battlefield 1, like all of them are on sale. So nice. I definitely look at that. I'm sure they're available on other consoles too. I just know for a fact, mainly because of where I work, that they're on sale on Xbox right now. So highly recommend those for sure. Monster Hunter Generations Ultimate's a Nintendo Switch game. Nobody cares. No one here, at least. I don't play those games.
Nah.
I don't know what Necromunda is, but that sounds awesome. Ori and the Will of the Wisps. If you ever wanted to play a game on the Xbox that's gorgeous, will make you cry, buy the Ori games, because they will make you do that. Overkill's The Walking Dead.
How is that? They messed up on that one.
What?
Necromundia is after Ninjala?
Oh, yeah, no, their alphabet's terrible on this.
Their alphabet is terrible on this.
Yeah. And Ninjala is below Nino 2.
Yeah, okay, wow. Anyway.
If you do the symbol.
Even earlier in the list, too. It just popped out at me. Right,
I'm not
there.
Actually, yeah. It just definitely is pretty bad there.
All right.
Oh, yeah, I mean, but yeah, so the Ori games are really good. The new one is gorgeous looking, but I highly recommend those. Overkill's The Walking Dead. This is a different one from the Telltale games, which is more of a story-based, choice-driven game. This is more of an action game. I've watched a little bit of gameplay, all the different trailers on it. I think they showed gameplay off, like official gameplay.
Okay.
I haven't looked it up yet, but someone says it's more of an action game, so I might check it out, see what it's all about.
All right.
Persona 5, who fucking cares? PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds gives a bunch of updates. Tease the new snow map coming up later this year.
Yep.
Paladins Realm Royale, which is a very interesting game in its own right. That's out there too. You have it's Eevee.
Yeah, Eevee.
It is Eevee. You guys are totally right.
That's what we said last night. Yeah.
I know. It's like I don't know why that always escapes my brain.
Let's go Pikachu or Eevee.
Yep. Both the same game, just different different Pokemon you start with. So those ones will be out there. Two new updates for Prey. Prey was a really fun game. If you haven't played it, I highly recommend that as well. Moon Crash was a free DLC you get to play, where it's they call it a rogue game, which basically means you play the same part over and over again, but it changes every time. Mm-hmm. It's a simulation you play through where every time you go through, it's the same area, but you go either a different path or different things are happening, and the monsters come from different areas. It's pretty cool. But that game's really fun, too. And then the VR version of what they call Typhon Hunter, which is basically a VR version of Prey, where you're hunting down the Typhons, which are the shapeshifters, creatures from it.
Okay.
They showed this off of the PlayStation 4 one, which is called a game called The Quiet Man. No idea what it's about. I have no clue. Rainbow Six Siege is getting an update. Rage 2, everybody. Rage 2. For the few out there who actually played Rage 1, good job. For the rest of you out there who did not play Rage 1, shame to fuck on you. Rage was an amazing game. It was one of the best single-player games you could possibly imagine. It was extremely large.
Didn't it get panned by critics?
Yes.
And that's why it wasn't very popular.
That's why, because people listen to critics instead of making their own goddamn minds up.
So it's a little surprising that Rage 2 has been made.
Yes, but Bethesda is very big on revitalizing stuff that most people don't think about.
Tweaking the formula to see if they can get it right for it. More mass appeal. Yeah.
Yeah. And really, if you go back and you watch gameplay of Rage 1, Rage 2 isn't that much different, other than they ramped it up to Rage 1 is like at a 10.5. It gets pretty crazy at certain points. Rage 2 turned up to 21. It's like they basically had sex with Borderlands, but said, fuck space. We're going to be on Earth.
Okay.
That's the best way I can put it.
Okay.
It's going to be fucking just bonkers. All sorts of crazy. You get crazy powers where you can do things, like make people explode or throw things or jump high. All sorts of craziness is going on. You have a crazy blade boomerang you throw that chops through people. Really good gun action. Really good driving. Rage 1 was on the 360 for the people who didn't play that one. And I think the PlayStation 3? I think it was on... No, it might have only been Xbox.
I don't know.
360. I can't remember. But it was a really fun game. It was multiple discs, which is crazy.
Uh-huh.
Which nowadays, fuck discs, buy digital.
Right.
But, I mean, nowadays you would never... It wouldn't mean more than one disc, because it's going to be downloaded anyways, and you use the disc as your licensing. Anyhow, Rage 2, I highly recommend checking out the trailer. You'll like it a lot. It looks crazy. Let's see. You have Resident Evil 2 Remake, which is a terrible name, but if that's what they keep it as. It looks gorgeous. They show, I think there's a little bit of gameplay trailer. I haven't watched it. I watched the the gameplay trailer they showed us, which is just basically cutscenes and stuff, but it was pretty fucking cool looking. Roller Coaster Tycoon Switch, no one cares. Sea of Solitude looked nuts. They didn't give a release date on that. That's a Ubisoft game. With one of those like super retrospective RD games. Two new releases for Sea of Thieves. You have Cursed Sails and the Forsaken Shores. Forsaken Shores is the first time they expand the actual game to another area. So I don't know if they expand the map or have a new area you can sail, set sails in. But that's going to be pretty cool for those people who like forced PvP. We have Sessions, which is a new skateboarding game for Xbox and PC. We know nothing about it yet, but whatever. Looked very much like the last one of the last Tony Hawk games. Not the last one, because that one's all ridiculous. But very much like Skate as well.
All right.
Skull and Bones is the new Ubisoft pirate game, which is mostly just, as far as I know, all based on the ground or on the ships. So it's all about upgrading your ship and basically taking down other ones. It is co-op as well, but instead of joining the same crew, you actually have different crews that come in and can help you. So you build up your boat and your reputation, and you take down the different people on the seas.
All right.
Looks pretty. It looks gorgeous, but I'm not going to play it. It's way too much work for me.
You skipped over Shadow of the Tomb Raider.
Oh, Shadow of the Tomb Raider. That's right. Did I? Oh, yeah, it is. Why is it not blue? How does that not have information about it?
I don't know.
Whatever.
All I know is it's coming out this year.
Yes.
And it's going to be fantastic.
If it's in like the last two, it's going to be fantastic.
Yep.
Highly recommend playing those games too if you haven't. The first one was called just Lara Croft. And then the Rise of the Tomb Raider.
And then Lara Croft, Rise of the Tomb Raider, I think. Yeah.
We could look it up. It doesn't matter. They're all by Square Enix and Crystal Dynamics.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yep. Gorgeous games as well as amazingly played. This one looks to be more of the, much like Rise of the Tomb Raider, where it's more in a they actually go into tombs and stuff. Unlike the first game, which I don't think really went in any tombs.
Yeah, you did. They were more of just like side things that you went into in order to collect
stuff. Oh, that's right. Yeah. It was less of the puzzle solving like it was in the second one. And what looks to be this one too, if I remember seeing it correctly. But it's a gorgeous looking games and super violent. When she arrows that guy through the back of the fucking... Oh, dude.
Dude, when she opens her eyes and you're like, oh, she's Ramboing this guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's also Terminatoring or Predatoring this guy.
Yeah.
She eviscerates the shit out of him. Soul Calibur 6. Nah, I don't care. We've talked about the Spider-Man game. Looks amazing. It's made by Insomniac, which makes amazing games. Generally, you should play that for sure, if you have a PlayStation, that is, because that's the only thing it's on. There was a little talk about a new Star Wars game called Jedi Fallen Order. It is it takes place between episodes 3 and 4 during the collapse of the Jedi Order during Order 66. We don't know anything about it other than the fact that you get to play as a Jedi during this. Rumors are now you actually play as Obi-Wan Kenobi, but who knows if rumors are correct or not.
Yeah.
But the only bad thing about this is the same team that was working on the last Star Wars game that got shit canned.
Hmm.
So not all of them, just some of them, same people. That one looked pretty cool, but whatever. They really announced Surge 2? I didn't think that game was going to get a sequel. There was only a few more. Unravel 2, which is now a co-op experience. It was a fun game, but nothing to write home about. Vampire, which is either about to come out or just came out. That looks pretty fun game. We Happy Few has got an official release date. It's actually officially an Xbox or Microsoft Studios game, which is weird because it's still coming out on PS4. So that's a weird thing.
Yeah.
But it is now part of the Microsoft Studios family because they bought that company. Those are the people who made BioShock, by the way.
Yeah.
Some of the people who made BioShock, all of them.
It has a very BioShock look to it.
Yeah, it's very fun if you haven't played it, by the way. It's in early access right now. But I do believe when it fully releases, it will also be part of Game Pass.
Okay.
Because it's one of ours, so look forward to that. Then they announced two Wolfenstein games. One's a VR game. One is Wolfenstein Youngblood, which is a sort of sequel to the new Colossus. Mm-hmm. You play the twin daughters of BJ, which is going to be great because they're going to be foul-mouthed and super violent.
Yep.
Makes me so happy. And it's going to be a co-op experience for the first time for them. That's pretty fucking cool.
Mm-hmm.
Because you actually get to, you play as one of the twin sisters, and if your buddy joins, you get to play the other one. So that'll be fun. I think that's really it.
Yeah. That's it for me for at least the games I'd be looking forward to.
Yeah. There's some other ones in there too. A lot of indie games that look pretty cool too that I didn't really get a chance to look too much at. Just because they kind of fall away with all the other big titles coming out. But we have GDC coming later this year. We might see some stuff at PAX. We have Gamescom, and we have BlizzCon, which is mostly going to be Blizzard stuff. And then, of course, we have Doom or QuakeCon that will be out as well to talk about stuff and things.
Yep.
Producer, what are we looking at?
We are way over.
Oh, shit. Look at that. And I think that means we're wrapping it up, everybody.
Yep.
So, like usual, comes naturally, we are...
Joe.
And I'm Cody. That space again was Mike. And as usual, you fuckers just came naturally.
Bye.